Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight, economist.
And I'm Michael Hill, jeweler.
And today on the show, we are once again joined by Michael Hill, Sir Michael Hill. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about commercial property because it's very interesting. Michael Hill Jeweler must be one of the largest tenants of commercial properties in New Zealand, certainly in retail, with 55 stores in New Zealand and about 306 stores all around the world, 17 in Auckland, 5 in Wellington, 6 in Christchurch, I counted this morning on your website. So substantial tenancy. And I think people who are interested in commercial property, and there are a number listening to this show, and will be really interested in how are decisions made about retail property and which shop you're going to tenant. So I'd like to start by just asking you, what does it take to secure Michael Hill moving into a shop? What are you guys looking for?
Well, once again, the position is vitally important. The centre, as most are in shopping centres, the centres you choose, of course, are also vitally important. But I think even since COVID times, all these values that we had have suddenly completely changed. And anything that was slightly weak before this is now on life support, basically. So there's a very rapid change happening out there, which would have probably taken a few years, is actually happening in days, if not in weeks, or maybe not even days, that decisions that would have been put off are now having to be made. So the shopping centres are, unfortunately, are not getting the foot traffic that they used to. And every year has been a gradual decline, but now that decline in foot traffic is growing to an alarming rate. So this brings the question of just how many of these stores are going to remain economic, because we were paying or have been paying rent on a foot count, and suddenly that foot count has dropped by 20 or 30 or 40%, the same rent deal and the same everything doesn't stack up. So it's a completely different beast. And we're reevaluating a lot of our stores internationally, not so much in New Zealand, but we have removed 5 shops from our portfolio. And that's probably it short term. But globally, there's probably a good 20 or 30 shops and maybe even more that will be definitely under the microscope now unless something happens. So unless the rentals significantly reduce, they're no longer economic to run those shops, and it's better for us to deal online rather than having those. So it's a very interesting game out there. Retail property and shopping centres in particular are under enormous duress at the moment to gather themselves together and work out from their own point of view what's economic or what's even left in it for them. So it's really quite a significant change that, as I say, that's been brought on that could have taken months or years to unravel is unraveling very swiftly.
And I suppose one of the changes that have happened over the last 20, 30 years is the move from shops being located on the high street moving into shopping malls. And now you're seeing almost the end of that is what we're hinting at with foot traffic declining.
Oh, it was so good on it when you just got back to the old-fashioned street shopping. That was so much fun. It was so good. You would choose your position and it really would be up to you to make it work. And as shopping centres became in, they became stronger, they take percentages of your rent and the rents just keep going higher and higher. And up until COVID, rents just kept going up and up and up. And there was no end to it. And the next rent review is no the same. Everything goes up. Well, it's such a change is happening now because that just doesn't work anymore. Such a change.
Yes. And I remember in your books that one of the things that you did that was so different at the time when you were just starting was the displays in the jewellery stores. And I'd love for you to just speak about some of the things that perhaps you and Christine had done initially, because your wife, being an artist, helped with those window displays, right?
When we first started in 1979, there was a Mary Quant in London who was doing some fabulous simple window displays, and no one was... Well, they were doing it in Switzerland, simple displays, but we thought, wouldn't it be great to be able to change the windows completely every week and make them really stand out? So we would be rapidly changing our window, keeping it very simple. I mean, like at Easter, we'd have, probably couldn't do this now, but we'd put chickens in during the day and take them out at night. But we'd have little live chickens in the window going around with the diamond rings. And, you know, the windows attracted so much attention. They were just incredible. We'd have Vegemite jars in the window one day, and we'd have watering cans. And it was endless ideas. And we had all these great ideas, and they were very simply operated. And people would come for miles just to look at the windows. And it was such a great advert for us. And then, of course, they look at the windows, and then, of course, they're tempted to come inside. And then we were great service and had our displays beautifully set up in there. So it was so, well, it was quite easy then. It really was.
We've got to talk about the chickens. Oh. What was the thing behind the chickens?
Oh, well, our caption was just out, and we'd have some new release of diamond rings, which are on stalks above the chickens there in a ring box. So you could have half a dozen rings in ring boxes above that, beautifully lit. And there's all the chickens scurrying around underneath them there, which are having a happy time because the windows are nice and heated. Night, we took them out of there and made sure they were all nicely looked after. And it was quite hilarious, really. Yeah.
That is something else. I don't know what to say to that. That is amazing. Just to take a slightly more boring track, who in the organisation, because it is a big organisation, who's making those leasing decisions? Is it a committee, or how does that structure as you get bigger?
Yes, well, we have a team of builders. We have leasing people that do the deals with them. And of course, all these in sync and tune with our CEO, who's understanding what's going on. Now, we have a complete professional team that looks after that and is quite accomplished at achieving the right deal and the right position. Getting the good position is really vitally important, really, and it's quite easy to choose slightly wrong one. It can make a huge difference to your turnover. If you get that right, it's one of the keys to success, is making sure you've got that spot really right. And a lot of people, we like to view that position quite a lot ourselves and spend time, if it's in a shopping centre, spend time in that shopping centre on different days, making sure you're at different times of the day, just seeing what's happening and just seeing where the customer flow is and where the most people are walking past. And then, of course, you can get a lot of people walking past, but they're not coming in because they've got a purpose or something. So you need a position where they're walking, but they're also wanting to look. We had a place in Edward Street in Brisbane. It was actually a strip shop on the front there. We had so many people, but they're all on a purpose going somewhere else. And there'd be thousands passing a shot. A lot of them even came through the shop, but we couldn't stop them. You just about needed a net to catch them, to bring them back in. So that's why it pays to be completely observant and find out in that shopping. The other thing is, shopping centres are notorious. You have a beautiful shop and you're in a corner position, it's all looking great. Then they go and lease the site in front of you, and they might put in a boost juice or something there, and you get the from the machines that are making an enormous noise right in front of you there. And it's also disturbing the customer flow, and people are not walking past you, but they're walking on the other side. So suddenly you're becoming quite barren. So it's vitally important to make sure that your position is right. The other thing is, you can have a center stage, and they can be having a center stage attraction. And while that's on, there's no business because it's booming voices and everything else. There's people crowding against your shop, but they're looking at the stage. So it's getting all those things right does take quite a bit of skill, and getting them wrong can lead you in really into quite a significant trouble.
And I think this is really representative for listeners, that if you are going to be a commercial landlord, that you have to be sensitive to what the retailer, if you're investing in shops, is looking for. And you've got to be sensitive to specifically location, which is what you're talking about. I remember reading in Martin Hoare's book, who's a financial advisor down here in Queenstown, actually, and he talked about that if you're doing retail, only invest in the very top retail stores, because that's where retailers will always want to go. So for instance, he talked about that in Christchurch, you'd invest across the road from Ballantyne's, because you'll always have shopkeepers wanting to tenant retail stores there, yeah. Which incidentally is exactly where the Michael Hill and Christchurch City is. It's right across from Ballantyne's.
The other thing is also, and sun plays a big part in the sun where it shines.
Yes.
And in most retail stores today need ambience, very few that don't. And having a controlled lighting that you have control over, rather than at some stage, or maybe most of the day, you can have a hot sun coming in that's completely draining all the ambience of your beautiful displays, and in some cases even fading stuff. So that light and the reverse, of course, you can be, if you're on a strip site and you get the wrong side of the street and it's the cold, icy side that nobody wants to go on in winter. So all these things need to be really studied quite a bit to make sure that you've got it right. And as far as outside your shop, it's really good to get something signed in there that they can't take away or steal the front of your shop for another other site that they've suddenly decided they can make a few more thousand by putting another site in. Shopping centres are notorious at doing that.
And look, just as we finish up this one, I'd love to get your thoughts on where do you think retail's going to go in the next 20 to 30 years? We've kind of hinted at it, but I'd love for you to talk a little about it so that people thinking of investing in retail sites can just have in mind what a retailer is really thinking about.
I think it's going to change dramatically. I think there's going to be less and less retail. I think what we're finding, unfortunately, is that the country areas are not doing as well as the main centres. You know, in Auckland particularly is so powerful and so strong, as is Christchurch, very powerful, very strong. Those places are getting stronger, but the country places are getting weaker. And they are quite a concern. I personally like the idea of having country stores, and I think they're really wonderful. But it's going to be a struggle going forward. You know, do the Timaru's, do you have a shop? So all these things make you wonder how long it is before there'll be vacancies next to you, and then suddenly there's lots of vacancies, and then, of course, there's no attraction for anybody. So that is really a concern. So I'd say the biggest centres are going to become like the Albanese, for instance, and the Riccarton Mall. Those places are going to become even stronger and more powerful, and the others will gradually diminish away. And then look out, if you don't have a presence online and you're not working that really hard, which at Michael Hill, we're spending millions making sure that our system is much more simple, much more attractive. It hasn't been good, but it's coming really good now. And that's the future now. That's the new retail site, is online.
For anybody listening to the show who is really into retail investment, you've got to be thinking about the things that Sir Michael's talking about now. If this is what your tenants are thinking, you've got to be moving yourself there. Perhaps not wanting to invest in retail shops in Timaru in that case, if there's not going to be tenants there, if there is going to be more vacancy, it's going to be a tougher time for you. Perhaps you are wanting to move more into those main centres and think about investing there because that's where the retail is going to go. Hey, look, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the show. It really does help us get the message out to more people. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight, economist.
And I'm Michael Hill, jeweler.
And we'll be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.